Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time it's subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here in 20 minutes. We'll also get back into the Masters in the noon hour today. But somewhat really related to that is what Rory did was an athlete breaking through, right? 11 tries to get the career Grand Slam. Something that was some 10 years ago, everybody thought was going to happen. Like, you know,
as quickly as he got the other three, it certainly seemed like, and he got him in like a year and a half or 2 years. The other four majors or three majors he's had at that point.
23, 24, 25 years old.
He basically had it in 14, and he was up in a very similar position, actually, to the way that was on Sunday.
So he breaks through, and it was an unbelievable moment, as we already discussed. So now who's next? And I'm not talking, maybe it's a golfer, but I'm not talking golf. In sports, there were two names that were so obvious, I think, but maybe we're missing some. And you guys can text in on the Jay Southland Sozer to text line, 913-586-7965. The next athlete that needs to break through to kind of change how everybody views them and say, all right, finally, the number one name right out of the gate is Josh Allen. Number two is Lamar Jackson, at least for me. How is it not? And I went to football first, and maybe, you know, some people that are bigger NBA fans would have a name, but I think it's very easily Josh Allen. He now has the MVP. Lamar has two MVPs. They both have lost to the Chiefs in AFC title games. Neither has been to a Super Bowl. I mean, those are the two quarterbacks.
From a football perspective, yeah. I mean, because I think if you're going to be a non-quarterback, if it's going to be like Rory, you have to be like one of the 10 biggest stars in the sport, not a quarterback. So like maybe 5 years from now, it's Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, but we don't really do that for
wide receivers. We did with Tony Gonzalez locally.
That was just to get to win a playoff game.
I know.
Multiple playoff games. But yeah, he ended up leaving and obviously Atlanta and people thought he had a chance to win. I guess I hear you. I just view like the breakthrough thing. I think you have to be in the NFL like the quarterback, because that's just what we do. I just, you know what I mean? Like,
I think are you the future Hall of Famer, and it's clear that you chose this team in an attempt to win a ring at the end of your career.
Yeah.
And you have to have been a star in the sport before. Otherwise, I agree. It probably is quarterback. And that's why I was trying to think of the baseball comp, because I knew football is probably the easy answer. Like, as in like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson kind of immediately come to mind. I think there's three players that would qualify for baseball. As in like, they would show you the raw emotion. You've been following a huge chunk of their career the entire time, and you simultaneously think of them as one of the greatest players, or like some of the greatest players of their generation, and they never won it. Mike Trout, and especially with him, because of like his whole history is like he didn't even get close. So it won't be quite the same as Rory, but the breakthrough on it, the payoff would be incredible. His team sticks again.
He just hasn't been close.
Aaron Judge.
There you go.
He's one of the He's one of the five biggest names in the sport. He plays for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
So if he finally broke through. And the last one is Bryce Harper. All-time great phenom. He came up and was a star player. His team won the World Series the year after he left for the Nationals. He's kind of like, he feels kind of like summer in baseball and all this stuff. And so the way I view it is, he would be, those are the only three baseball players I can think of. If there's someone I'm missing, maybe be the case, but he were the three. Like in the olden, you know, in the previous years, they've been like, what if Ken Griffey Jr. broke through or some of these other players that existed?
Yeah, someone says you need to adjust your comparison. Rory's one of six all time. I'm not saying that what they're doing is the same accomplishment. It's the idea that athletes breaking through, right? Like people, if ask any Buffalo Bills fan, the way we talk about Josh Allen, it's like, yeah, but he hasn't got to a Super Bowl. He hasn't won one. I'm not making the direct like comp of a grand slam, one of six is the same as winning your first Super Bowl. That would be more like asking to win like your fourth or fifth Super Bowl or something. I'm doing it just an athlete in general, any sport that is not been able to get over the hump in any way, in a certain facet. In this case, we're talking Super Bowls, and the NBA, obviously, we're talking, or in Major League Baseball, we're talking win a ring. What about the NBA? I mean, there's a couple guys that are legit Hall of Famers.
Chris Paul.
That yeah, people are considered some of the best of their generation.
Been there, and never got it.
Yeah.
I think Russell Westbrook also is a guy that's never, I mean, he's been to one, could potentially do it again with the Nuggets. I mean, Carmelo Anthony, of course he can't, but
right. He just got
the
Hall of Fame this past weekend.
He's one of those guys.
Recently, something like that.
He just got nominated. Charles Barkley, in terms of all time guys that.
Oh,
were close,
yeah. I mean, there's plenty who like didn't get it.
Yeah.
I still think, though.
Who?
A good example, I guess, of one that recently got one, but the storyline was very much like Rory was Matt Stafford.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Is he finally going to get one? Like, you know, I think
one Super Bowl kind of equates, not the Grand Slam, because again, to the Texans point, Rory is one of only six people to do it. It's just that chase. Like, if with Josh Allen, if he ever,
like they finally, they like
if
the
Josh
breakthrough.
Allen ever cashes it in, he will show the kind of emotions you just saw from Rory.
Yeah,
the moment that always stands up to us in that, like when we all watched yesterday, watching the Masters is. You borderline could physically see the weight come off of his shoulders, right? He just looked lighter. Like the man felt freer immediately for doing it. And you always felt like they had the talent and should have done it multiple times. That's the other part. Josh Allen feels like he has the talent and probably should have won a Super Bowl by now. It's that feeling of like, how have you not done it? Right. You're one of the three best players in the sport. How have you not managed to crack through? Baseball's a little bit tougher, I will say, for this comparison, because we know it's a team sport. In the individual sports, right, it's easier to be like, hey, how come you haven't done it? But in baseball, because it's 26 guys and like you can be Shohei Ohtani with the Angels and not win a World Series.
Yeah, that's
you gotta actually be with somebody good.
It's hard for me to use Mike Trout as an example because it's not like he's come up just short in a bunch of ALCSs. I mean, the guy just hasn't played in the postseason very often. No. So that's why it's tough. But versus coming up a game short of getting to a Super Bowl or a game short of winning a World Series or something like that. A couple people on the text line for NHL fans out there say Connor McDavid, right? One of the best players in the league. For NHL, that's a great answer. Someone said Joel Embiid. I mean, that guy just can't stay healthy, so I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, he just can't stay healthy.
Somebody says Damian Lillard. I think that also is a pretty good one.
But he's never felt that close either, dude. He just feels like he's been like kind of an obscurity like Trout.
Well, yeah, that's the reason he joined the Bucks in a way was to try to get that chase. One of the individual sports, tennis, introducing potentially a chase. Carlos Alcaraz has three of the four slams. He doesn't have an Australian Open. All of a sudden, I think that becomes a conversation.
But like, how many attempts has he had to try to even get that yet?
Probably three or four.
Okay.
How many do you get in tennis? You get a lot less than in golf.
I think Carlos, I would guess, if it doesn't happen in the next couple of years, that becomes a talking point of when is he going to ever break through and win one? I know that this is a minor audience, but NASCAR-wise, Denny Hamlin's never won a championship before. Okay. One of the best drivers, you could argue.
He's a name
time.
I've heard. He's never won a championship?
Denny Hamlin has never...
How have I heard of him and he's never
he's
even
been
won
close
it?
So
he
many,
a lot of races,
he's though. Been close so many times and just hasn't been able to get it done. He's a guy potentially as well.
913-586-7965. This one, going back to golf, it didn't have to be a golf comp, but this one, someone said, hey, what about Jordan Spieth? Is he the next golfer we talk about? Can he get the Grand Slam? He needs one at the PGA Championship. It's been a while for him, too.
The
that probably is the next golfer.
Too.
It's probably the next golfer to talk about breaking through and doing something like that.
The way his career is going, because people have kind of forgotten about Jordan Spieth, where I mean, it's Bryson, it's Xander, it's Morikawa, it's Scotty. People forget about Jordan. Like, it's hard to remember those days of Jordan Spieth just dominating the Masters in whatever year he won. I can't remember.
That's always my point. Anytime like the next golfer comes and dominates, like Scheffler, right? He's been a dominant player over the last 3 years. But it's always good to remind you, like, no, like, they always expect it to go on a Tiger run. I'm like, that's never gonna happen.
Yeah,
in Rory's case, Rory went on a Tiger-like run for 2 years, where he was the hottest name in the world. He won three of those, you know, he got three of the four majors in that 1 year, competed for a Master, the whole thing. And then he was a great golfer, and he still, but, like, he didn't win another major till now. It was another 11, 12 years. Scheffler could have that same fate. Whether you think he's a dominant golfer or not, he could all of a sudden, he'll probably win a couple more, but then he might just go 10 years before he competes for, before he wins a major again, not competes. He had the quietest top five of all time. I didn't even feel like Scheffler played good golf the entire weekend and he was top five.
Speed might be the answer here in terms of like the one that is
the direct golf comp.
The closest to direct golf comp is, because for Rory, again, for him to not have won a major period since 2014 just sounded nuts anyways. And then you go back to, well, he's never won a Masters, and this chase has been going on for a total decade. It's crazy to think about. I think Jordan Spieth is in that category where, and I don't know, not that it's not fair to say with Aaron Judge it's not, but I wonder if there's a guy that hasn't, like they missed out on it, but they haven't been close in a while, that it makes it that much bigger of a deal where they kind of reinvent their career to get there again. And they win. I don't know if that's where Mike Trout comes into play.
Yeah.
Because Trout's never been there where he finally gets through, or Josh Allen, been there, hasn't been able to do it time after time. I think that's another really good one where we're going to feel the elation for Josh Allen, if you will, in a way.
Yeah, I think if we're just talking in football, the two names are obvious. I mean, it's Jackson and it's Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. It's not even, I mean, it's easily those two guys. So we'll revisit this a little bit later on, but it'll be interesting to see how we talk about if those moments happen for some of the names we just mentioned. If those moments happen, is it treated any similar fashion as well? We'll get to the trash of the day in about 8 minutes, but wasn't expecting to talk college football on Monday, April 14th, because, you know, you kind of figure the rosters are pretty much set. You figure that everybody's got their quarterback. You figure that everybody's paid and happy with their NIL deals, but no.
You know, on April 14th, you would have thought so. Sure.
No, what the heck's going on in Knoxville, Tennessee? What the heck's going on over there?
A mess.
Yeah. I can't even pronounce the kid's name. Nico
Iamaliava.
That guy.
Iamaliava.
That was very good. He's going to enter the transfer portal now on Wednesday. That's the short summary of it. But how do we get here? So he was unhappy with his NIL deal. He believed he was worth more money.
So he said, I'm not going to show up to practice.
He did not show
I'd
up
like
last,
more money.
Last Friday at a practice, middle of spring ball.
Before the spring game.
Yeah, and he believed that would put pressure on Tennessee. Josh Heupel, the head coach, they basically called his bluff and said, no, we don't do that here. He said, you can leave. And he's going to leave. And who knows if he's going to find a spot for anywhere near the kind of money. By the way, he was already making like over $2 million a year.
He's scheduled to make $2.2 million this upcoming season.
I saw some article that said, going back to his high school days, because he was able to start earning some of that in high school. Like Tennessee is much like Missouri. They have a law where right now you can start collecting NIL before you even get on campus. Someone projected that by the time his career at Tennessee was over, he was still going to get $9 to $10 million in NIL. Not good enough for him. So we can get into the bigger issue at college football in a second. But on the surface, look, I got no problem with Nico trying to get paid, but I sure as heck have no problem with Tennessee saying, yeah, we're not going to do that. You're not going to do that here. We're not that school. Like, I think both have clearly the right to do what they did, but man, oh man, if you're Nico, you have some people giving you some bad advice, dude. You thought you were worth more money. You're not. You're clearly not.
Okay, so I don't disagree with that notion. The idea that he overplayed his hand, right? He thought they'd have no choice. Look at the time of year. They're just going to have to pony up, get the cash together. They'll scratch it together for me. And he was wrong in there. But I will say, both sides have every right to do what they did. He has every right, based on the current function of the system, to go and demand more money. He has to know that that comes with great risk and that the team might choose to bounce his ass like they did, and to which they also have that right, by the way. No one is in the wrong for choosing this. I think the thing I get the most tired of arguing in this is, they're ruining college sports. I don't think you hear it the way you think you hear it sometimes when I hear that argument. What I hear when you say is, it's ruining college sports in the way they used to be is, I used to like when my labor got taken advantage of and they had to work for free and got no money. Yeah, I'm sure you did as a viewer or consumer, but like the people who were playing the sport were getting ripped off for 100 years. I think they should have every right to earn the same amount of money as any AD or coach or anything. He took a big risk. The actual player thing, I think he took a misstep. I don't think he should have done it, but I think he has every right to do it, unless they're going to go to contracts and revenue sharing and everything else.
He has every right to do it. Tennessee has every right to handle it the way they did it.
They get to kick rocks.
Both sides are fair. The issue is, this reminds us of the bigger picture right now, where there are not, you know, any sort of guardrails or requirements for the agents and who can represent you. You get bad advice. You don't actually have real agents representing you to tell you, hey, by the way, that's not the going rate for you. You can't get a better deal. The only thing I will say for him individually where I'll push back on, otherwise I agree with you, Cody, on the, hey, they have the right to do it. The only thing is you're doing it on April 12th. It was over the weekend. So you're doing it on April 12th. You're doing it now. You know, if you wanted to complain about
this
2 months ago, you're now it does look a little more like you're quitting on your team kind of thing than it would have 2 months ago.
There's more to it as well, because if he would have done it 2 months ago, he opens up his options in terms of availability, because there's an SEC rule. He cannot go to an SEC school. It is against the rules during the spring portal to transfer to an SEC school. He could wait and sit out a year if he wanted to, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So he limits his options in terms of schools that would be able to pay him that $4.4 million. You're taking away the highest revenue generating conference out of the picture because you can't go there. And then USC said no. Notre Dame said no.
That's why it was bad advice.
You're really, and the report was that his dad was marketing himself, was marketing his son to other teams. And Dan Lanning, there's a rumor that he marketed him to Oregon, and Dan Lanning called Tennessee and told Josh Heupel what was going on. Like, Dan, like basically Oregon was like, look, we don't want him, but this is what, this is what's happening right now. Josh Pate suggested this over the weekend, that there were players in the playoff, Nico being one of them, that debated sitting out of the playoff game because he wanted more money. I thought we wouldn't get to this point as soon as we did, but the report is that Nico was debating doing this.
See, that's a bad
before
decision.
The playoff game, which would have been crazy. It would have been a terrible
decision. You have the right to do it, but it's clearly a bad decision. You should look at it. I think if you're a college player, you should look at it like a one-year contract. And each at the beginning of each year, if I want more money, now's the time to ask for that money. It's not as we're approaching the college football playoff. Now, I'll say both sides end up looking really bad. If he doesn't get a spot, or he ends up on a team that pays him the same or less, and they're no good, then it's a little bit different of a circumstance. But if Tennessee's no good, if they're a six-win team, I'll be honest, maybe should have scratched together the dough. Like, you were in the college football playoff last year.
Right now, Pandora's box, though, if you do that.
Exactly. Like,
let him hold you hostage. You can't be taking a stance.
Yeah, you can't be held. If you're hypo, you're sending a message to other kids on your roster and future, like, hey, we're gonna pay you, but you're not going to try to leverage us the week before or the day before spring practice or spring game. Like, so I think he had to do that. This is why I think we all agree. Like the compensation and the NIL is overall, the concept is a great thing, right? And the concept is. But we are so early in it, it needs to be fine-tuned like no other, so circumstances like this don't happen. Can we change the transfer portal deadlines? Can we have restrictions on who can actually represent you? Just like if you're an NFL player, you have licensed NFL agents. Cody and I can't just represent you and start negotiating your contract until we go through the process, right? You do that to protect the athlete as well. And that kind of stuff would prevent this. You're always going to have somebody that thinks they're worth more money. Welcome to life. We all think we're worth more money than we're getting paid. But like, you also have to be smart. Like, you know, if you think you're making $100,000 now and you think you should be making $800,000, if there's not somebody that's willing to pay you, and you're out of your damn mind. Like, that nobody's making that kind of money. Pick your field. If that's not what anybody's making, you asking for 10 times, 7 times more doesn't make sense. And that's where it all has to be balanced out. But this was fascinating over the weekend.
There was an update regarding some of the teams. I saw UCLA, which is in the area that he's from, Tulane, UNC, potentially Bill Belichick.
Tulane got $4 million laying around for a quarterback?
Exactly. I don't even know if UNC's got $4 million laying around.
Gave all that money to Bill.
So I think that it'll be really interesting to see where he ends up. And then likewise, as you mentioned, Cody, for Tennessee now, what do they do in regards to the situation?
I don't know who their other quarterback is. Probably some 4-star kid who's they planned on redshirting.
Yeah, you're relying on a guy that wasn't expected to be playing for you.
Someone said, in the NFL, you hear about, you know, Lamar Jackson has his mom represent or whatever. Yeah, but he technically doesn't have an agent. He's actually, you can represent yourself.
Yeah.
So that's the gray area. Like,
family member is where they're always going to, like, essentially get away with it.
Well, and it's not just like
Bill, my childhood friend. And negotiating with Oregon with Dan Lanning behind my back.
And once you sign the contract, yes, you can hold out, but the way the NFLPA is set up now, like, you really can't hold out. Mm-hmm. That's the difference, is like, once you sign the contract, for the most part, you can threaten the holdout stuff, but for the most part, you're kind of locked into said contract. In college football, you get a 1 year, there's no contract, you get a 1 year promise of NIL, and then all of a sudden, 6 months later, you don't think it's enough money, you can try to go back. That's the problem.
They can just rip away the promises for NIL just as quickly as you can do it, then it should be 1 year contracts or 2 year contracts. If they wanted to force college players into contracts, I'd be fine. and it said, if you agree to come to Arizona, you got to play here 2 years. Otherwise, you could be going to sit out the year. If you decide not to be a 2 year player here, we're on our contract.
Unless your
we
coach
guarantee,
transfers.
Yeah.
Or unless your coach leaves. Yeah.
You agree. You know, you agree to this amount of money. You agree to this amount of NIL. We're going to pay you that. And this is a contract. You got to be here. It's a professional sport. We can pretend away and wash away the, like, I cheer for the jersey and the college part. It's too big a business. They get to be a part of the business part.
Yeah. This is still where the suggestion we've brought up on the show before, I've mentioned, and I think all of us have at this point, that is still the, how do you prevent the poaching kind of stuff going on? I still think if coaches have buyouts when they leave, can we not tag? Let's say Nico is leaving. He's got a number attached to him. Now, what the formula looks like for the number, I have no idea. Somebody would have to figure that out. But let's say his buyout amount is $100,000 or $250,000. All right, he transfers to, let's just go with Oregon for the hypothetical. All right, Oregon has to pay Tennessee $250,000 that goes towards their NIL budget.
I actually think it'd be good for the smaller schools, because for these kids who want to go up and play SEC football after playing at the lower leagues, you get $250,000 to put towards more players. It should balance.
Like player buyouts, basically.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't balance the sport, but it would at least give more money to those lower level schools.
The argument that you always bring up, Cody, as well, is regarding the coaches. You know, coaches are allowed to do this stuff. Why can't the kids? I think that the contract, doing the contracts, whether it's year to year, whether it's multi-year, whatever the case is, it allows them the flexibility to have the same ability to do things as the coaches do. Where it's a year to year thing. I can bounce if I want to.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's go to St. Petersburg, Florida for this one. Pinellas County.
This comes from, not where the Rays are even playing this year.
No, that's true. That's true. This comes from WFLA. I believe that's ABC, maybe affiliate down there. So a man was charged for something. You're like, well, what is he charged for? He did about $1,000 worth of damage as well. Did it to like doors, molding, and more in St. Petersburg. How did he do the damage? Well, he was reportedly angry that this business would not get him a job interview. They wouldn't talk to him. So he filled multiple bottles with urine.
Come on, man.
Went to the front doorway.
Get you the job.
And splashed the contents into the building. The affidavit said the urine splattered on the bare legs of an employee as well as merchandise valued at an estimated $1,000. In addition to felony battery and criminal mischief, he was charged with aggravated assault. The affidavit said he fled on foot after throwing the urine and was chased by the victim. Now, I don't know why the victim was running after the guy that just threw urine on you. I would just be like, you know. Anyway, at which point he raised a skateboard in the air as if to strike him with it. This guy is also... Yeah.
Imagine having... I mean, there's bad days at the office, but if you get, like, urine thrown on you from someone, that's pretty much peak bad.
Yeah, this guy also is a registered sex offender already, so this guy's already...
Well, I mean... That might be part of the reason you're not getting the job interview, sir. I don't want to say for sure, but I imagine that's hurting your case, as it should.
Why the urine? Why the urine? Like, what are we... Why the urine?
Registered sex offender immediately goes to the, you know, the worst conceivable outcome, I guess, right? Mm,
guess so.
I mean, how else am I supposed to view it at that point?
Yeah.
And just assume this guy's a loser and he, you know, a dangerous person. Well, he's going to go back to jail. Well, I don't know if he went to jail the first time. You can be a registered sex offender and not have gone to jail, I guess. I just
that's
like
the trash of the day.
That's what you decided to do when you didn't get a job? Sir, that's not going to help you job interview.
This is twice in a week we've had stories about urine. We had the guy that was had his recycling bins filled with the gallons of it randomly. Oh, yeah. And then now this. Something people got weird. Thanks.
And crazy enough, the guy filling the trash cans with urine, that's not the worst of
He wasn't throwing it on people's houses.
Correct.
He wasn't pouring it on their driveways.
He was just trying to go to the bathroom.
I still don't know what the heck was going on there, man. I still don't know. That article, the theory on that one where the person thought people were kidnapped and they're dropping off the bottles of urine was the weirdest thing.
I mean, it was like the amount of urine he said that they were throwing away, though, was like a weirdly high amount.
Oh, it was gallons. Half gallons. It's a lot. We looked it up. We did some research on how much you should be each day, you know, anyway, but that's the trash of the day.
Maybe the guy was just drinking a lot of water. Based on the pictures, he wasn't. So like that's
he wasn't hydrated, huh? He wasn't hydrated.
No.
I don't know about this story. It didn't say that this guy was hydrated.
I meant for that they were in that scenario, given no choice.
I don't think in that moment you're thinking, well, this guy was hydrated at least, you know? The urine he just sprayed all over my leg. At least he was hydrated. I don't think you care if he's hydrated or not.
Maybe we'll roll it back into the random question since we're limited on time now. But I'll I want to kind of know what the worst day in any job you ever had is
okay.
Now.
Yeah, we'll get
so
there.
Start thinking about that now for the random question later, because the guy who got urine thrown on him that day, probably one of the worst days.
Winner right there.
Yeah.
Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. One request from the Chiefs may not be granted by the league. We'll tell you what that could be. Plus, we are 10 days out from the draft, so you know we got a new mock draft.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coming up next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get to some draft talk, including the latest mock draft that's out there. So we're 10 days away from the draft. Reminder, the landing in Liberty a week from Thursday night. We're going to be up there starting at 6. Bink, Chris Unocero, the Character Concerns crew, broadcasting live throughout the first round of the draft. Everybody from the station is going to be up there. It's our 96.5 The Fan draft party in Liberty. $965 up for grabs, plus a shot at an autographed Juwan Taylor helmet. You got to know how the draft's going to go. You have to fill out a sheet. Not just where they get drafted, but when. You do both of those, you get points. And we hope to see you guys up there. Going to be a great time at the landing. A couple Thursdays from now, man. We're getting close. 10 days.
$965. The pricing went up 33% just based on the fact that we changed parts on the dial, so thank you to the switch to the FM. But yeah, it's always like crowded. It's a great time. Tables get full. It's a super popular event. Get your spot early, but we look forward to seeing you all out there. It's like, I'm pretty sure every single person who works here will be there. You and I included. I missed the last one, so I got to make it very clear. So I was like, will you really be there? Not the draft party. I just missed the last station event because I was unable to go to Hollywood Casino.
I thought you were at.
So there's like one person who's very, very disappointed in me for missing that one. I want to be clear. I will be at the Landing in Liberty on April 24th.
Yes.
Barring an act of God, you know?
Sure. Cannot guarantee that. cannot guarantee something like that happening. So hope to see you guys there. All right. We'll get to the draft, as I said, in a couple of minutes. But remember when there was the update from The Athletic that said, hey, Clark Hunt and the Chiefs, they really want to make Christmas Day their day.
Yeah.
And that they basically want to volunteer to say, we'll do this whole Christmas Day game thing. And a lot of people, including myself, I think you as well, were like, man, this just sucks for fans in town. Now, there's a lot of you that I think enjoy it, but if it was every single Christmas Day, especially for a home game, while it's great for their brand, look,
sucks for everyone.
That's a day you're busy with family, and not everybody can afford to take their whole family to a Christmas Day Chiefs game, and so like it just changes your whole day. You know, you like to sometimes avoid having to do that. Your sports day is your sports day. That's for a lot of people a family day, understandably so. Well, there's an update on this from Pro Football Talk from Mike Florio that says the NFL is not likely to have the Chiefs or anyone else permanently host Christmas games. Does it mean that the Chiefs won't be on Christmas a lot? No, they could be on Christmas quite a bit. But Mike North, who's the NFL VP of Broadcast Planning and Scheduling, was
pretty good source
talking to the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. I know you're familiar with the It's Always Game Day family podcast.
I was very briefly on it. It's Always Game Day but podcast.
The quote from there is, quote, I'm not sure that's going to be a tradition quite the way Thanksgiving is. I mean, think about what it took for that tradition, right? The Lions since the 30s, the Cowboys since the 60s. We didn't commit to a third site on Thanksgiving when we brought that back about 20 years ago. We rotated that around. I imagine we're going to keep rotating Christmas around too. That's the VP of scheduling and planning for the league. So I think we can take a little bit of a step back on the it's going to happen every year. They're going to be on it a lot, but I don't think they're going to put the Chiefs on it every year. I'll be honest, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled if that's the case.
I think that I told you I didn't want it from the beginning. From the NFL's perspective, this is exactly why the Chiefs wanted to do it. So the Chiefs wanted it because they realize, for the same thing that the NFL VP of broadcast is saying, like, it's too valuable. We would rather spread all these teams out because I think it's even more of a standalone game than Thanksgiving. If you put them on Netflix, if you put them on Prime, the premium we're charging the client. The client probably also doesn't just want the Chiefs every year. I mean, they probably want the Chiefs every year until Patrick Mahomes isn't the quarterback old, but they don't want the Chiefs every year after that. They don't want to find themselves in a Detroit Lions through the middle of the 90s or the early 2000s portion of time where you're essentially rolling them out. They're not to do it. They want variety. He even said that they would like the option, as you pointed out, to flex it, as in, we're not even going to tell you who's playing on Christmas Day.
That's a little crazy.
Until we know who the good teams are. This is going to happen more and more. The flex scheduling stuff, for everybody who wants to travel to a game, and this might be worse than even just like knowing on Christmas Day you can at least go to Arrowhead. For anyone who wants to travel to the game, the fact that they closed the window to 21 days instead of 28 gold, and I'll just tell you right now, the amount of money Prime and Netflix and all these other Amazon and all these other companies are paying, they don't want duds. They don't want Christmas Day. Browns, Texans, coming up next. No. They want two good teams for people to come watch their product. That's why they're paying you the amount of money they pay you. So they might very well get it.
I think Christmas flexing, though, is really, really dangerous just in terms of the planning is bad enough for any game, let alone when you're trying to navigate your family schedule around the holidays. So I think I get the business end. I get why also the Chiefs, of course, want to be on it every year and all that. I'm just looking at it from a fan perspective. The flexing on Christmas is even worse than flexing any other day, just because you think all of a sudden
you decided to change your, let's say you
normally do, I don't know, you do your Christmas dinner at a certain time or whatever, and
you
all of a sudden
for any team, yeah,
or yeah, or that. I'm just talking about even the normal fan, but sure, the employees definitely. But if you're just a normal fan, you're like, oh, we saw the X team is going to play at 3 p.m. Okay, so we'll do our stuff early in the day, and then all of a sudden, oh wait, that is all scrapped. Sorry, you'd made plans with your in-laws, so some people are going to two different in, you know, two family members' houses on the same day. Like, it just, flexing on Christmas is wild. But I'm glad to see the update from Mike North, VP of Broadcast and Planning, that it sounds like the Chiefs are not going to get it every single year. Nobody is going to get it every single year.
He didn't say no, definitive, no. Zero, but he did say that that is not their plan and not particularly the way that they would like to operate it. But like I said, the way he's talking about it is why the Chiefs wanted it and why I don't. I just don't. Look, the Chiefs probably will play on Christmas Day again this year, which would make three consecutive years if they manage to somehow end up on that day again. But no, I don't want it every year. I don't want people to have to go to Arrowhead. I don't want, and like, some people don't care. We learned this the last time we talked about it.
Yeah.
The fact that it is unlikely to happen brings me joy, though. Good. Good. But it probably will be every time they're on some weird day. A Tuesday or a Wednesday, it's probably the Chiefs, right?
At least this year, the way the calendar falls, right? Christmas is on a Thursday. So
they're going to do a slate, right? They're going to do three games, they say?
Three games, and the rest thing is not as problematic because they play Thursday. So
all the time.
It's not as bad as a Wednesday. Now, in, 5 years or whatever, when it's on a Tuesday, that's when it's a big problem. You know, that's when it becomes an even bigger problem again. But we'll see. I like that update, though. I definitely did.
Made me feel better about where the Chiefs are going. Schedule stuff, man. It's always a mess. When's the schedule come out? Like mid-May?
About a month from now. Yeah. All right. We got 10 more days of these. 10 more days of these Sounders for the mock draft.
Do we get to do Todd McShay's 2026 day after the draft?
Todd, should we do it the day after?
Yeah, we usually do.
We usually do Todd McShay's. He tells us that it is, he said before, it is his single most read interview, single read article of the entire year.
I wonder if it's just something a bunch of
looking ahead 364 ahead, days.
It's fans, but I also wonder if it's like, honestly, like every college player already are trying to get a, I
see
wonder
if
just,
they're there. Yeah.
I just wonder if it's stuff like that that leads to it.
If your team, like let's say the Giants for whatever reason, don't take a quarterback. They need to see.
Exactly.
They must have a high intake of Jersey.
Yeah, and then you just
want to
see if you're the wide receiver for LSU, if he's got you in the first round, you know? Yeah.
So we're going to go to Pro Football Focus for ours today. Jordan Plocher, I don't know how to pronounce the last name, sorry.
Is that sure?
Like, Jordan.
sure.
But Pro Football Focus came out with this, and some of this has to do with a conversation, this mock draft, a little bit of what we had earlier regarding the New Orleans Saints. More on that in just a moment. But at 31, a name that we've seen plenty of times with the Kansas City Chiefs at 31, Jordan has them taking tackle Josh Simmons
from Connerly
Ohio
or Simmons
State.
Yeah.
I mean, the reference is exactly the same in regards to he was playing great before getting hurt. He had an 82 Pro Football Focus pass blocking grade, according to Jordan. Of course, his draft from Pro Football Focus.
I mean, look, again, I'm not
everybody.
But like at this point, the mock draft sounder is getting tough because at this point it is almost all Connerly Jr. out of Oregon or Josh Simmons out of Ohio State. And then I'd say the other 30% are two players we've discussed on this quite a bit, which are Harmon or Walter Nolan, or maybe like your guy, James Pierce or Nick Scorton, like a couple of other edge guys kind of tossed in there. I'm trying to think at this point, there must be someone we're missing. I missed Emmanuel, or I mentioned Emmanuel a couple of weeks ago. Like, who is this unknown player that sneaks up on us? Because that's the problem. I think it's going to be either defensive line or offensive line. I don't think there's some like hidden linebacker or wide receiver unless it's Luther Burden. I don't feel like I
be
see
honest,
that
though,
name
the
coming
only
down
is,
there.
Is Luther Burden only truly just because we're in Kansas City? Like, we're talking
no,
about
because
him
I think that's where he's going to go-ish.
Okay, because I'm like, in Philadelphia at pick 32, now look, different needs, I understand, but like,
sure.
Look at the three picks before the Chiefs and the one pick after. Are they talking about Luther Burden as much as people are here?
Luther
My guess
Burden's
is
not
no.
in this first round,
My
in
guess
fairness,
is so. No. It's I think a lot of it is the Kansas City connection with obviously Missouri not being far away, the University of Missouri not being far away. So that's what I'm just trying to figure out. But I'm with you. Like we've been consistent on this. Defensive line makes a ton of sense. You always need it. And they don't have a lot of guys on long-term deals. The offensive tackle, the only way I get it is what we said last week. You're willing to just have a guy ride the bench all year. And he is, unless you think he's better than Jalen Moore, but then again, it's like, why
did
you?
In a weird way,
if
you take him in the first round, I feel like I want him to be better than Jalen Moore. I want him to win the job immediately.
Oh, for sure.
I'm rooting for that. I'm rooting for him just immediately to be the guy they just paid.
It's weird. Jalen Moore's making a good amount of money, nothing crazy, but okay. So if you're Jalen Moore, what were you promised or not promised? Were you promised a chance to compete? Were you promised the starting left tackle job. Is Jalen Moore long-term the right tackle for this team then if you draft Simmons? I'm just trying to figure somebody that you spent money on or high capital on this scenario is not playing. And that's what I'm like, either Jalen Moore would not be playing or your first round pick would not be playing. So either way you wasted 2025 resource, not long-term, but 2025 resource. If you do that, and that's what I'm trying to figure out, because Juwan Taylor is not getting traded or anything, guys, not with the salary. So Juwan Taylor will be the right tackle for this team. Mm-hmm. Week one, other than Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, those are the three positions there that you know for sure solidified on the offensive line. Left guard is up in the air. Left tackle up in the air for 2025, even though I think it probably is Jalen Moore. But right tackle, right guard, and center, that's locked in. There's nothing changing there.
I guess, and Drew, you've been looking at these because you bring them to us every day. Mm-hmm. Is there a corner we haven't discussed enough who's going, or safety we haven't discussed enough that is going around 31? Eamon Ware, I just mentioned, because in this mock he goes 32 overall, so he's certainly in that range. Because they are in a position right now that they can start across the field. Mm-hmm. They don't have to take a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman with pick 31. If they've got a corner they love or a wide receiver they love or a safety they love, they do technically have that option. The two positions I'll say that I have not seen at all, like period, linebacker, I haven't seen a single. I haven't
First
seen a
round,
single.
No. They brought Nick Bolton stuff. They're set there.
I haven't seen a single mock draft have a linebacker in that spot.
There might be only one linebacker that goes in the first round, and that's Jihad Campbell from Bama.
And then I've seen very few, I'll say, very, very few safeties. Not zero. Yeah. We saw the one with Eamon
Ware. Once they brought back Mike Edwards, I think that really decreased the chance of them spending a premium pick on safety.
Him and then Malachi Starks is the other one from Georgia, but he's going to go a little bit further, maybe ahead of Eamon Ware. The name... It goes back to corner, actually. I think if there's a name that we haven't seen yet, we saw Jade Barron mocked in one of the ones that we looked at recently. Other guys to look at that position, Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky, corner there, and then Trey Amos from Ole Miss, also a corner that in this mock they've got going in the first round ahead of where the Chiefs do, actually. But corner is the only one where I think a random name that we haven't seen yet can pop up, unless for whatever reason they want to take a wide receiver and it's not Luther Burden, it's somebody else. Like if they fall back, or maybe Mykael Williams, the edge rusher from Georgia, if he for some reason slips and continues to fall down. But a lot of the same names we've seen, and I don't know if there'd be, I mean, maybe Kenneth Grant, defensive interior lineman from Michigan, if he falls that far down.
Similar. We haven't mentioned him yet, but he would be in that same range.
So one of the interesting things about this mock draft is we mentioned the Saints in the conversation around the quarterback position.
Oh, yeah. What do they got?
So Cam Ward goes number one. Shador goes number three to the Giants.
Oh!
Jackson Dart at number nine. And then Jalen Milroe to the Steelers, because the argument is, look,
because they just got no one left?
Nobody's left, and they want to find somebody.
Who else is taking him, though, you know? Like, why are you taking him at 21? Who else is taking him in front of you at that point?
We're going to get four quarterbacks in the first
round?
No way. I think we can get three. Four seems awful.
Is he over under
three,
two and a half?
I'd have to check. Yeah, I know. I know there's more and more thinking that there will be three. Then at one point, everybody thought, oh, there's going to be two. It seems like there's going to be three. Four, though?
Woo. Four would be a panic move. I think it'd be a panic move for somebody like maybe Pittsburgh. They're like,
they're not a panic organization, though, sure, you know? They're the worst one to choose panic move.
But they took Kenny Pickett a couple years ago in the first round when they didn't necessarily need to. And not that was a panic pick.
Ben Roethlisberger was on his last leg when they took Kenny Pickett.
I mean,
I think they needed to take a quarterback. Then they were trying to do the Packers way.
In fairness, who do they have now? Again, who is it?
The Steelers?
Yeah. Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson.
I mean,
that's the quarterback room, I believe.
I wonder if they're like, yeah, you know what? We just need to take one anyways, if we get Aaron Rodgers or not.
But Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure, will not change his mind or anything. So he'll end up starting for them for sure. You know, he won't wake up one night and decide not to play football or change his
unless
mind.
Unless they draft Shador or Cam Ward, I don't think Aaron Rodgers has anything to worry about.
The Giants are really going to take, would the Giants really take Sanders after they brought in like 18 quarterbacks this offseason?
So Sanders is the third quarterback.
They're going to bring it and then steal that?
He's going to be the third quarterback all year.
I don't think it would be as crazy as what the Falcons did last year, but I do think it would be a little bit crazy because of
just like, why did you give all these guys the money? Yeah. Why did you just like, I mean, at the very least, just bring in one. Don't bring Russ and Jameis and then draft a guy at third. right? Like, I mean,
Sanders, yeah, that Sanders to three is what I don't get, because now I feel like a lot of people, unless it's just the smokescreen of like, oh, the Giants after all this are going to do it. That's why we had the discussion earlier. We'll get back into it with Derek Carr's shoulder injury now. Number nine, Sanders seems like the move at this point. Sanders what goes
they, nine. Can they even afford? Can they even afford to trade up potentially to skip the?
Who?
If the Saints feel like, you know what, somebody might try to give up everything.
Those are draft, not there, money. So maybe, but I would.
Is there anything that they? Because you would say, well, we don't have any money, so we need the draft. Well,
you can always
assets.
Trade in the future, right? You can always give up future picks if you really love the guy that much. You know, the Saints organization, the Prime organization, many years ago, traded their whole damn draft for a running back. So, yes, they can trade. They can mortgage the future. They
Sean Payton notoriously
I'm referencing
was
Ricky
draft,
Williams, but
was yeah. going to draft Patrick Mahomes.
That's
don't
true,
let
that's
don't
true.
Let you. He'll never let you forget.
Now,
so.
This year the Saints have pick nine. They have the 40th overall pick in there in round two, and then they have 2 third rounders, 2 fourth rounders, a sixth, and 2 seventh. So they have multiple. They have to still trade and dip into the future, probably. But they have the yes. If they wanted to do that, of course they could do it. They're not trying to trade up from 21 to get to 9 to 3. I just don't know who are you worried about. Like maybe you need to trade up one spot, unless you think the Steelers are going way up. Who are the Saints worried about needing to trade up in front of? You know what I mean? At this point, like nobody.
That's the same thing I think about 21. It's like there's only two teams that are really looking.
The Jets at 7.
I was going to say
that's it.
Maybe the Jets.
Okay, so maybe they need to get in front of the Jets. They got to get to 6 then.
I think you risk it at 7. They made their commitment to Justin Fields. They convinced it's going to work there, right? I mean,
true. The one thing we just don't know is like, do they actually like Shador Sanders or not? Like, that's ultimately what this comes down to. We can say that Derek Carr is going to be hurt, and your options are Spencer Rattler or basically drafting Shador Sanders because the veteran options stink and all that in free agency right now. But if they are just dead set, they don't think he's any good. Well, they're just not going to draft him. But if you like the kid and now you have the injury, even if you thought that he maybe isn't worth a top 10 pick, but you think he's more like a late first rounder, then you might still do it. But if they just don't like him, they think he's going to be a bust, then obviously they're not going to draft him.
I mean, it's just like sometimes I wonder that, but then also I'm like, what? How could you think that? He doesn't look like that on tape.
I
are
agree.
We nuts?
I
like,
agree.
I'm not saying you have to think he's the next guy. Like, he's like walking on water, but like there's no watching him play and be like, well, that guy just stinks out loud off my board. Like it doesn't, none of that computes. You could say it's not worth the number 9 overall pick. You could have that evaluation of that player and say, that's a second round pick. We're not taking him at 9. If he's available at 21, if he's available at 25, we'll have a different conversation. We'll do that. So I think the text line's point, and maybe going back to the Chiefs draft a little bit, the way we talk about the same 5 defensive linemen and 2 or 3 offensive linemen, it just makes me feel more and more and more that the likelihood of moving back makes way too much sense. Because the options you have available to you at the positions in which you want to draft feel like they're actually going to be kind of strong at 31. It feels like you're going to have some good choices left there, which means you should have the ability to kind of finagle it more than normal. I'm not saying you have to trade back. I just
no,
feel
I would
like,
be fine with them trading back. We say this every year, and then we remember how difficult it is to find that trade partner that wants to trade back in. And I hear what you're saying. You're saying maybe there's a guy this year that prompts that.
You got to hope that Jackson Dart falls that
but
far.
That's, it's a quarterback like that, or it's Luther Burden falling, and the Chiefs aren't interested, but another team is. You know, it's somebody like that. Otherwise, we can talk about trading back all day long, and I would be fine with it. Add another pick, and that's cool, even though you know fans get bummed out waiting all night until 31, and then they don't make a pick. Yeah. I get it. We'll be up at the landing, and that would stink if all of a sudden they didn't make a pick that night. But I think it's just way – it sounds so easy. Oh, just trade back. Like, just trade back. And that doesn't always
it's
present itself.
Yeah. I do think it is interesting, looking at – to finish things up real quick about this draft. The Raiders do not take Ashton Jensen in this draft.
Okay, where's Jensen going?
Jensen goes to the Bears at 10, which means that, I mean, that offense could be nasty.
With a great offensive line, young quarterback, offensive mind, head coach, that's fun. Their defense might suck, but that's the fun offense.
That's the most fun potential pick you could make.
The Raiders take Jahdae Barron at 6.
Still a running back, but they get the, okay.
No, corner.
Sorry.
So they take corner there, and then the Broncos take Colston Loveland in this draft, and then the Chargers take Kenneth Grant from Michigan, of course.
Okay.
Harbaugh, Michigan connection, recruited him. That would make too much sense.
I'm actually somewhat convinced the Broncos might take Loveland too, because they look at how bad the Chiefs are against tight ends, what Bowers does against them, and they're like, you know what? If we had that, that'd probably solve part of our problems.
Let's get ourselves one too, yeah.
Yeah, like a good path to beating the Chiefs. Now, you don't win a lot of games, but a good path to being successful against the Chiefs offensively is to...
Yeah, I hear you.
Utilize tight end.
I'm convinced that mock drafter just did that because Loveland, and there's a suburb of Denver called Loveland, like 30 minutes away. And that's all this is. That's all this is.
It's a great city.
You've
been there?
Oh, yeah. I've been
to Loveland.
I did play-by-play for state women's basketball when I lived in Colorado.
In Loveland.
Loveland, Colorado.
Perfect.
It's a very nice city.
There you go.
We were like, I don't know. My dad had lost a job or whatever in high school. We almost moved there. He's like, would you move here? I was going to live in Loveland. I almost moved there.
It's like 40 miles
from Denver.
So I
remember doing a lot
of
research on it at that time. I'm like, I mean, I guess.
The ECHL team for the Colorado Avalanche is in Loveland.
There you go.
The Colorado Eagles.
So Loveland.
You know a lot about Loveland, Colorado.
He said he lived there in the area.
I spent 3 days there.
Oh, 3 days.
Covering state basketball. And
it really left an impression,
man. It must have been a great trip. It must have been a really good trip. 3 days, man. Left a good impression on
it. It was very good.
He liked it.
There you go. Up next, we will get to what's trending. We'll remind you about our announcement earlier today, tell you more about our Cody and Gold road trip to watch Cags play coming up next month. And let's get a little Jack watch. Let's see what he's up to. Plus, Cole Reagans has put himself firmly in the Cy Young conversation again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.